KPCW time is 8:15. I'm Melissa Allison, standing in for Leslie Thatcher, who's on holiday with her family. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. In studio with us is Summit County Solid Waste Superintendent Tim Loveday to tell us about the new $36 fee and new cell at the landfill. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in this morning. So a new garbage fee, $36, is about to take effect. Give us a lowdown. Is it just residential that will be impacted?
Yeah, this is residential. This is based on a residential property address. The council approved this and gave us the full go-ahead last June. We have been a little bit slow in implementing this due to some struggles with our contractor who's doing the invoicing for us, so we do apologize about that. But we're getting this out for 2016, and after this year, it'll be a July thing each year.
Oh, so it's $36 for the whole year each July?
Yes.
Okay. And why did the council decide they wanted to charge this again? You said that there were some problems with that.
We have an issue where it was a couple of issues. One, the cost of disposing solid waste is going up exponentially. Our landfill here in Summit County is operating basically to the standards that you would have done 20, 30 years ago. As we fill up this cell under this current DEQ permit, we have to move forward now with the new technology, which is a lined cell with leachate collection and gas management, and that's very expensive. So they set up this landfill now as an enterprise fund, which means it has to be self-sustaining. It's not to get it there. It's being subsidized through property taxes, and this is a way to alleviate that situation.
So recycling, how are we doing? Because that's supposed to help decrease landfill, but you're saying we're having some issues.
Recycling is a big challenge for us here in Summit County. We are currently diverting about 25% of our waste, and that includes all the commercial recycling that's going on within the county itself. You know, just in our power there at the landfill, we're down in the 12-13% range. We have a solid waste plan that the council approved a number of years ago that says we should be at 40% now. Bottom line is we're not doing a very good job of it. We are working on making changes to fix that, including developing a new solid waste management plan that will have goals and objectives that will allow us to get to a higher level of diversion.
So the county's position, as you mentioned, is to it's an enterprise fund, meaning, as you said, it pays for itself. It's not. Do we have an idea of a projected plan goal yet of when it will?
I think you'll see it go positive in 2017.
Cool. And the county is building a new cell next to the existing landfill. For us lay people, Tim, what is a cell?
A cell is just that's a breakdown, a small area. That's the management area that we're going to be putting waste in. We have six cells currently permitted in our long-range permit that will take us out to about 32 years of life in the Three Mile Canyon landfill. This new cell, the first of the six, will be lined with high-density polyethylene so that we don't have a release of leachate to groundwater. We'll collect that leachate and be able to manage that, evaporate it off. If we create too much leachate, we can take it to a publicly owned treatment works, and basically it's a big positive environmental step for Summit County.
So are you required by the government to build this?
Absolutely. This all came about a number of years ago with the EPA regulation called Subtitle D. It required all of the newer landfills to be lined and to do groundwater monitoring, leachate collection, that type thing. Utah and a lot of the western states are lagging behind on that because we were dry climates. So they allowed us to keep disposing in our old cells that were unlined. You can argue back and forth on whether that was a good idea or not. Wyoming found out that it was not a good idea. Of their 113 landfills, 80 of them are leaking, and now the legislature stepped in, and they're having to pay to clean those up. We've been a little more fortunate here in Utah, but the bottom line, at the end of the day, we need lined landfills because, you know, groundwater is a pretty precious resource in this state.
So I know out in Cache Valley, they're building a brand-new landfill. It's huge. And they're using the latest technology that has the lining that you're talking about as well. How old is a landfill that you're referring to?
The landfills that we're operating now are decades old. I mean, these have been around since the 60s and 70s. The technology hasn't changed since landfills started many decades ago. What's going on in Cache County? I've been up and visited their site. They've got a very nice operation planned up there, tremendous transfer station, very impressive all the way around. They'll be trucking, going to the transfer station there in Logan and then taking the waste north into the upper end of Cache County. They've got a new site there. It'll meet full Subtitle D requirements, all the local DEQ requirements here in the state of Utah, and it's going to provide for them for waste disposal for many decades to come.
So with these older landfills, the ones that we're using, to come up and match the requirements, do they have to do that since they're old? Are they grandfathered into something? Or?
They're grandfathered in. We will ultimately close them in place. Now, we'll put a better cap on them than what was originally required, and that will keep water from infiltrating in eventually. But once that waste is in place, the only way to get that liner would be to dig it up, and that's just not going to happen.
So this new cell, is it projected to last how many years in the future, and how much does it cost?
This new cell, we're looking at about $750,000 total to be able to do this. We're looking at about 7 years of life. We'll be disposing solid waste into the new cell. But then from there, we'll be piggybacking up onto the old cell to the west, so we'll gain some volume that way. And then basically we'll be imbricating these cells against each other in the future. Now, as we're developing, we're currently excavating for that cell now. Now, once we're in there and operational, we'll go over into the next cell, cell two, and start excavating there for our daily cover. And that's that will be in anticipation of building that landfill, that section, 5 to 7 years from now. And by doing that ourselves, we'll be saving the county a lot of money.
So how many cells does this landfill have?
Well, we have six proposed new ones. Right now, we've got an area that is just as big as the six proposed new ones, but they were never identified as cells.
And when do you think that you mentioned we'll eventually close this landfill? Are there dates already set for that, or?
We take the best guess we can based on our current tonnage. We were planning on a landfill that would have lasted somewhere around 47 years. The latest numbers, because our waste stream has increased significantly the last couple of years, particularly the last 2 years, we're looking at something now more in the lines of 32 to 35 years of lifespan.
Okay, and the construction and everything that's going on right now, when did you say that it's projected to be done?
We hope to be operational into the new cell by next fall. We are currently excavating that in-house, and another means to try to save the county resources. But it will go out to bid sometime this winter, early spring, with a substantial completion date of sometime this fall.
Well, the members of Park City, the community at large, I'm new here, so I'm making a judgment statement, but they're very proactive. They love to jump in and get involved. They're very green. They have huge net zero goals. So what could they do they're already recycling. Is there anything that they could do to help this process, to make it more efficient, to decrease the cost?
Decreasing the cost is a tough thing for us to do. I mean, the number one thing that a rank-and-file citizen can do to reduce costs for the county and for landfill disposal is to recycle. That is, it's a fancy environmental word that makes people feel good, but from my side, you can call it recycling, but it's diversion. I need to keep that out of my landfill. Where it goes from here, I'm not as concerned about because I have to deal with what's in front of me. By recycling, though, literally, if we go from a 25% diversion to a 50%, look how much life we're adding to the landfill. Conversely, if we do a poorer job of recycling, which is always a danger during bad economic times, should that ever come here, we would decrease the life of the landfill. So we need to be really, really careful about that. Recycling is the number one thing you can do. And be active. I suggest to anyone who has an interest, get in contact with me through the Summit County Public Works. Come out and visit the landfill. Most people think about a landfill being just a hole where we dig and we throw garbage in and we throw dirt over it. It's a lot more complicated than that. I've been in this business now for 25 years. I got my engineering geology degree and came straight into the landfill business and been at it ever since. And it's highly technical, and it's very expensive, and it's only going to get more expensive. So we need to do a good job of diversion and protect that resource for as long as we can.
So you have a long history in this industry. What do you see the future looking like in the next 5-10 years?
Next 5 to 10, I think the biggest thing we're going to see, particularly here in the West, is we're going to retire our older landfills, our unlined cells. We're going to see the Subtitle D finally come to fruition here. You know, most of the large landfills here in Utah are already Subtitle D. It's the smaller county, it was like Summit, that we haven't filled out to reach our closure elevation. So that's going to be the big change for us. Regulatory changes are always a potential as they come out of EPA. They come to the state level. But the big things that are out there that are going to impact us are our groundwater. Groundwater protection standards are only going to get tighter. Drinking water is a precious resource, and we're going to see that become a focus regardless of politics. We're also going to see a lot more focus on air, which is the landfill gas that's generated. As our landfill gets bigger, we're going to have to comply with EPA standards on gas emissions. And eventually, we'll be to the size where we may have to collect and either burn off that gas or otherwise dispose of it.
So it's the holidays, big influx of packaging, wrapping, bows. What are there common mistakes people are making in their garbage, or what should they know to help make your job easier?
Well, try to keep your recycle as clean as possible. That is one of the biggest challenges I have right now is contaminated recycling. Look on the county website, summitcounty.org. You'll see a list of what you can and can't recycle. We're also working on getting stickers onto the recycled cans on the curbside collection so that it'll be right there in front of you at your residence. You'll know what you can and can't put in there. You know, what people don't realize, and often it's the overachievers on recycle that actually contaminate it more than anyone else because they want to put everything in there. Simply because something is recyclable doesn't mean we can take it in our curbside container. It gets classified as contamination, and then we have to put it in the landfill, and everything goes in the landfill. We can't separate it at that point. So focus on that. That's the big thing in the holidays.
So pay attention to that label that's on your trash can outside.
Yes.
Nice. And is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have, something that you want our listeners to know?
Well, the big thing is this fee. It's new. And again, we apologize for the time of year that's coming out. It's just not what we had chosen. We wanted this to be out last July. But no one wants a new bill. I don't like it any more than anyone else, but it's going for a good cause. We're going to get an environmentally friendly landfill out of this. We're going to be able to put money aside for closure, which we have not been able to do. And this is going to contribute to a more positive environment in Summit County and to our long-term sustainability.
And as you said, that takes effect in July or June?
It's in effect now. The bills just came out December the 15th. That'd be the 2016 bill. And then from 2017 forward, the bills will come out in July.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
That was Summit County Solid Waste Superintendent Tim Loveday. When we come back, we will be talking to Director of Public Utilities Clint McAfee, along with Park City Community Engagement Liaison Lynn Ware Peak. KPCW time is 8:30. I'm Melissa Allison, standing in for Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Joining us in studio is Director of Public Utilities Clint McAfee, along with Park City Community Engagement Liaison Lynn Ware Peak, to talk about public utilities and to give us an update on construction projects. Good morning. Thank you so much to the two of you for coming in.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
So, Clint, stormwater, streets, lighting, and water. What is the most pressing item on your list right now?
The most pressing items on our list right now, immediately for 2017, we're talking about replacement of a water line in Sweet Alley. We're trying to get ahead of the brewpub project so we can get in there and replace the utilities and get out and not be in their way. That infrastructure has reached the end of its useful life, and our asset management program takes a look at age and condition of infrastructure, and then also considers if there's other projects happening around. And in this case, the brew pub will be triggering us to replace that in advance of the brew pub parking lot. And then we have also in Old Town a Heber Avenue waterline replacement. The Sweet Alley replacement is from 4th Street south up to where it connects back into Main Street.
Will that be affecting surrounding businesses and residences then?
Yeah, typical waterline construction, probably down to one lane at certain times, heavy equipment running around, but hopefully we'll get in there and out of there as quickly as possible.
So can you tell me, water is a big issue everywhere, and especially with the issues going on in Flint, Michigan. I believe they just ended their investigation. And is Summit County, or was it just Park City, passed some water testing regarding copper levels and other minerals and things like that?
Yeah, the lead and copper rule requires, I think it's every 3 years, that we take a statistically significant sample of tap water from residential connections that have or are likely to have lead or copper piping. From the main in the street into their house. That was done this summer. Michelle DeHaan did a great job. And one of the challenges was finding the right connections that met all the criteria. One, they have to be full-time residents. There has to be a likelihood of lead and copper piping. I think it was around 20 households we sampled throughout the system. And what we found is we could not find any lead pipes in our entire city that anyone knew of. And then second of all, we passed all the tests with flying colors. So the lead and copper rule really measures the corrosivity of the water. And what happened in Flint and other areas around the nation, they switched water sources and didn't put the proper corrosion control treatment in their water treatment system. And so the water's pH and other things were such that it started to corrode the lining of the lead and copper pipes into the water system. And so it wasn't actually coming from the water, but the water was so corrosive that the pipes started to corrode. And in Flint's case, it was lead pipes.
So my understanding is that a lot of our water comes from the mountains that have been mined. Are there anything that you have to be careful about in collecting that water that you have to watch for? And if so, what is it and how do you treat it?
Yeah, so the city get about 30% of our water supply from two mine tunnels here in the Park City, Judge Tunnel and Spiro Tunnel. And that probably is the long-term hot potato that we're dealing with. Judge Tunnel we stopped using in 2013 due to concerns over lead being one of those. It was low enough that it met all standards, but high enough that it didn't meet our standards that we set for ourselves. And in addition, antimony was right at the maximum contaminant level for as set by the EPA. And so we went ahead and just discontinued the use of that source until we could build treatment for it. The years 2014-15, we built a pipeline from Judge Tunnel down to Spiro Tunnel on the golf course. And there's an existing treatment plant there that treats water draining out of the Spiro Tunnel. And the plan is to demolish that entire site on the golf course and reconstruct a new water treatment plant that will treat both Judge and Spiro Tunnel.
Okay.
And it's important to note that Spiro is treated, and the new treatment plant will be required to treat water to drinking water standards and stream water standards. And in some cases, the stream water standards are actually more stringent because aquatic life are more sensitive to things like zinc and cadmium and antimony. And so it'll be the a state-of-the-art facility when we're done. That project is slated to start in 2020 and be operational by 2023.
Well, it's really reassuring to know that you set higher standards for the city and the drinking water and the other services that you provide.
Yeah.
Lynn, oh, sorry, were you going
to? Just one last thing on the Heber Ave project. That is another pipeline project we're scheduling this summer. So that line's broken several times. In some cases, it was a major disruption in the intersection of Park Ave and Heber. So between Park Ave and Main Street in Heber Avenue, we will also be replacing that water main this coming summer.
So in the past, has it just been repaired and that's why it keeps breaking?
Yes.
That's why you're replacing the whole thing so it shouldn't break in the future?
Yeah. So we use, you know, number of breaks as one of the many indications of the need to replace the pipes. And in this case, it's probably 5 or more years overdue. And there's some other triggers that are causing us to replace that redevelopment in the area. We want to get ahead of that and replace the pipes in the ground.
Okay. So, Lynn, speaking of projects, do you have an update for us for construction projects going on?
Well, this is the one that we wanted really to get the message out about, and not with a lot of detail, but we know that there will be a lot of impacts to residents on Sweet Alley as well as businesses next summer. And so we just kind of want to give everyone the heads up that it's coming and that we'll do our very best to mitigate those impacts to the residents and businesses. But again, the kind of tentative schedule right now is for sewer and water line replacement from 4th Street uphill on Sweet Alley. So 4th Street is the one that runs by Java Cower Elegante, just uphill a little bit here from the KPCW studios, and it'll go up to where Sweet Alley meets Main Street, basically. And so we'll work at this point, we believe, from the bottom up, and Clint, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but we don't have a lot of details about exactly where we'll be at what time, but we want to keep really close contact with the residents and merchants during that time. So this is kind of a first blush at that project, and it will begin about mid-June, and we'll go through the entire construction season. So as you know, we have a lot of events in and around Main Street and Old Town that will be impacted, and we'll come up with mitigation plans for those things. Specifically, you know, if the 4th of July parade, we staged that on Sweet Alley, as well as the Miner's Day parade staged on Sweet Alley and then up around exactly where the construction will be. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at with that particular project. Now, on the Heber Avenue waterline replacement, we will start that right after the ski resorts close in April, and we'll start that at Main Street and go towards Park Avenue along Heber Avenue. At the same time, you know, the Kimball Garage renovation is just getting underway now, so we'll have coordination with that project, even though that's not a city project, it's a private project, but we'll want to make sure that we get away from Main Street by the time and this will happen by the time the Silly Market starts and other events like Savor the Summit, which takes place on around the solstice.
So it's going to be quite the tap dance for you guys, orchestrating all this.
It always is.
Yeah, especially in Old Town.
Yeah.
So
right.
Does this affect the brew pub in Main Street Plaza?
Well, we don't have really updates on what's going on with the Brew Pub Plaza, but we think that construction will begin on that around midsummer. So that's why we wanted to tie in the sewer and waterline replacement on Sweet Alley into, mm-hmm. you know, when that's happening and get this project well underway by the time the Brew Pub Plaza happens. And quite a few of the details on that are still up in the air.
So does that include the sidewalks? Because I understand that there are still some that need to be completed.
Right. So as you know, all of the sidewalks in along Main Street have been replaced over a series of different stretches, shall we say. So last year, during the construction season, we gave it a rest, gave it a break so that the merchants wouldn't be affected. We have one final remaining stretch of sidewalks, and that is, again, from 4th Street, but this is on the west side, so starting at the Burns Cowboy Shop, you know, sort of across the street from Shamayo and going all the way up to the area around Grappa Restaurant. So those, that sidewalk project will also start sort of the day after the ski resorts close, and we're trying to get that well underway. And that portion of the sidewalk should be a little faster than the other portions have been because the stormwater drains are already in, as far as I understand, in that section. So again, you know, it's just something that we have to be really aware of the impacts to the merchants, and we'll be watching that closely.
So what other events and projects do you have to think about coordinating with? Is there?
Well, anything that happens on Main Street and, you know, between the 4th of July and things like the Park City Food and Wine Classic, the Arts Festival, Miner's Day, even, you know, getting into the fall with Halloween on Main Street, which, you know, to a lot of people in this town is about the most important event that takes place.
So is there anything that our listeners should be aware of, something they can do to minimize? Because I'm sure that you looked at visitors coming in and what the best times are not to or to do construction when they're not in high numbers, et cetera. Is there something that our locals can do or when they should take advantage of coming up to Main Street and when they might want to?
Well, you know, as I've said, we will start, you know, construction begins the day after the ski resorts close, really. And some of the projects take longer. The Brew Pub Plaza will likely be two construction seasons. And so, you know, just keep your ears open for information. This is our job to kind of put the information out and tune into KPCW. I think between the local media outlets, the Park Record and KPCW, that's where you can get a lot of your information about knowing what and when. But we'll do everything we can to again, mitigate the impacts. And as Clint's a pro at keeping as much of the road open as possible while replacing lines.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, a certain amount of patience is always appreciated. You know, it's never an easy thing to get into a road, tear it up, and replace the utilities. But that, in the long run, is much less impactful than constantly repairing broken mains. So it's critical infrastructure, and we'll get in and out as quickly as we can.
And these are all good things. I mean, the sidewalks are beautiful on Main Street, and this was something that the merchants had asked for a long time. I know that you're fairly new to town, but there were some cracks and some heaving portions of a sidewalk that, you know, that didn't look great. And now these sidewalks look wonderful, and of course, having intact utilities is a good thing. So
yeah. I agree. Intact utilities is always a good thing. So, Lynn, you wear a lot of different hats. Not only do you do this, but I have seen you at PCU Unidos meetings. What are you doing there, and what is your goal?
So my title is Community Engagement Liaison, and that, of course, as you say, it encompasses a couple of things. But one of the things the city wanted to have as a representative that could perform Latino community outreach as well. And so they hired me. I speak Spanish. I struggle through Spanish a lot of times, but I speak Spanish, and I have become a member of the PC Unidos group as well as the PC Advocates. And the city just would like to have a seat at the table of all the things that affect the challenges and all the things that affect the Latino community in this town. So,
okay. Well, is there anything that either one of you would like to include before we wrap up our interview?
Yeah, real quick, two of the other projects that we're working on this summer is reconstruction of our Park Meadows and Divide Well. We're actually demolishing those two. They look like little sheds off Holiday Ranch Loop Road, just north of the Dirt Jump Park, near the fire station. We will be knocking those down and reconstructing a new treatment building. This was driven by Park Meadows Well. It was classified as groundwater under the influence of surface water. So we're adding filtration, and in order to do that, we have to add square footage of building, and so we're building a brand new building to replace the old infrastructure. So that'll be starting in about April or May of this year, and probably running through middle of 2018. The other project that is visible right now, to some anyway, if you're traveling out of town on Highway 248, is the Quinns Junction Water Treatment Plant. The residents and guests have probably seen dirt moving around and some cranes and concrete trucks. We are adding a process step onto that water treatment plant for manganese removal, so we're better able to handle upsets in the Weber River, especially during spring conditions. So we're adding some filters and adding some infrastructure to help us deal with our waste stream out of that plant. So those are the other two projects. That one of them is visible now, and the other one will become visible in the spring.
It's an exciting time.
Always.
All good stuff.
Always, yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. That was Director of Public Utilities Clint McAfee, along with Park City Community Engagement Liaison Lynn Werpeek. When we come back, we'll be talking to Amber Hansen from the Egyptian Theater about Zoso, the Led Zeppelin tribute band. So stay with us. KPCW time is 8:48. I'm Melissa Allison, standing in for Leslie Thatcher, who is enjoying the holidays with her family. And we'll be back tomorrow. And in case you haven't had your coffee yet, this is KPCW News Local, KPCW Local News Hour. I haven't had coffee either. On the phone with us is Amber Hansen from the Egyptian to talk about Zoso, a Led Zeppelin tribute band that is on their calendar. What is it, Amber? December 26th, 27th?
Yeah, Zoso is the ultimate Led Zeppelin experience. So they look like the band. They sound like the band. You know, we're going to do really cool rock and roll lighting and old album covers up on the screen and some cool graphics to go along with each song. So it's going to be a really fun time. It's part of the whole British Invasion Week. So we'll have a Queen tribute band after that and then a Beatles tribute band. And the last 2 days of December.
And what were the dates that the Led Zeppelin is, this 26th and 27th?
Yeah, that's December 26th and 27th. We are pretty much down to just single tickets or our held seats for our Faro Club members. So if you really want to come, join the Faro Club. It's a great end-of-year tax deduction, but that's, you know, the way to get those seats. Otherwise, you can be put on a wait list at the box office. But we are, it's always a really popular show. This is probably the fourth time we've had them play at the Egyptian, and they always sell out.
Go ahead.
The second best is seeing the real thing, which you can't see anymore. So probably the best is seeing the real thing.
Right. So you mentioned special effects. Can you give us a hint about what that will include?
We have all the cool LED lights, the new state-of-the-art LED lighting systems, and our video guy is really great. He puts on really cool video graphics and, you know, old album covers, and it just kind of ties into the show as a whole.
So what songs can your audience look forward to hearing when they are listening to Zoso?
Oh, all the hits. I mean, Led Zeppelin had so many awesome hits, so they'll play all of them. You know, it's a 2-hour show, so Cashmere and Whole Lot of Love and all the Zeppelin hits.
Okay, well, the one that comes to mind for me is Stairway to Heaven. That is a huge hit. Anything special planned for that performance?
Well, I think it's that song that their drummer has like a 7-minute drum solo, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, he's a great drummer.
So, you know, when you have a great drummer, that's a really amazing thing to be able to listen to watch.
Mm-hmm.
To state the obvious, tribute shows are popular at the Egyptian. Do you get the same crowd at these shows, or is it different depending on who the tribute band is?
I think it's different depending on who the tribute band is. I think this is one of those shows that really appeals to the tourists that are in town as well. It's an all-ages show, so a lot of families come, and, you know, repeat people who saw Zoso in the past want to get tickets to the show again because they had such a good time.
And who did you said you have Queen coming up? Who else is on
Queen Nation will be the 28th and 29th, and then the 30th and 31st is Imagine, Remembering the Fab Four.
Okay.
A whole week of tribute bands we call the British Invasion of the Egyptian.
So where do you get these tribute bands from? Is there one source, or how do you find them? Or do you find them? Do they find you?
I've found them. I just think they're the best tribute bands of their genre. So, I just kind of look around. I get feedback from other theaters that have had them. And, you know, I think Zoso's is the ultimate Led Zeppelin experience. Queen Nation is amazing, and they nail it. And then Imagine, remembering the Fab Four, are really great. And they and a couple of them are grew up in Salt Lake. So I think Randy Barton knew them already. And we have, this is probably the fifth time we've had them. They're always really, really good.
Well, Randy does know a lot of people, so I wouldn't be surprised.
That is true.
Any particular show that you're looking forward to?
Well, Queen is like my all-time favorite band, so I always look forward to them. And the guy who plays Freddie Mercury, like, he's uncanny.
I'm a Queen fan myself. But in terms of Zoso, what performance, what number should your audience be looking forward to?
I guess it just depends on what your favorite Led Zeppelin song is. I mean, I think Cashmere is one of the best songs in rock, so I always look forward to that one. But, I mean, it's so much fun. It's like watching the real Led Zeppelin. It's such a good, fun night of rock and roll, and, it's such an intimate venue, so it kind of just feels like you're in a private concert, a little room. But, it's always popular. And like I said, you should join the Faro Club if you want tickets, because all three shows are pretty much sold out, which is thrilling for us. It kind of makes our job easier the next couple of days.
Oh, well, that's disappointing for me, because I was thinking I might buy a ticket. But you mentioned the Faro Club. Can you tell me about that? I'm new to the area. What is the Faro Club?
Yeah, absolutely. The Faro Club is a yearly sponsorship program. You get a certain amount of credit to the shows to use throughout your entire year membership. And we always hold the best seats in the house for our Faro Club members. So cabaret tables up front, and then like the first four rows are always held for our Faro Club members. So, and we hold them to the last minute. So with popular shows like that, if you're a Faro Club member, you can still get in. And then we give you dining certificates. We have a lot of fine dining partners, Sundance Film Festival tickets, and it's a really social program. We have about six to eight socials a year that are complimentary to our Faro Club members, dining and open bar and some sort of form of entertainment. It's really a social program. It's a lot of fun. And you really get a lot of perks when you become a Faro Club member. So that information is available on our website at parkcityshows.com. And we have had a lot of people who just really want to see these shows, and they join the Faro Club. They get their tickets for free. They get to sit up front, and they're happy.
Right. So is it really sold out? Is there anything anybody could do if they really want to see Zoso and hear their favorite Led Zeppelin song?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything they can do to get a ticket?
Well, we might have some single tickets available, so if you don't mind sitting by yourself, you could do that. Or you call the box office and put your name on the wait list. If come the day of the show, we still have Faro seats available, we'll call the wait list before we release those seats to the public. And then sometimes, right before the show starts, somebody's friend decides not to show up, and people will be trying to sell out tickets out front, but that's pretty rare.
So is it like when you're flying standby, that if you get on and there's a first-class seat left, you get that first-class seat?
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it, yep.
Nice. I'm going to have to stand in line then and hope I get that first-class, that stage-side table. So is there anything I didn't ask you that our listeners should know? And also include the prices and showtimes.
Well, showtime is 8 p.m. nightly for all of the concerts, and they run December 26th through 31st. Tickets start at $29, and we will have a single event full bar for this show, which is, rare in Utah to get, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's an all-ages show, tickets, all of our information is available at parkcityshows.com. But like I said, if you, you know, don't have the means to become a Faro Club member and just want to be try your luck on the wait list, you can call the box office at 649-9371.
And do you have room? I mean, how many Faro members do you have? What's your cap?
Oh, we don't have a cap on Faro Club membership. We've got lots of Faros, and we're always welcoming more.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in this morning, Amber. That was
thank you.
That's Amber Hansen from the Egyptian Theater. We'll be back after this.